you imagine seeing my underwear, Steve, at 6 o'clock in the morning? Am I missing something? She looked at me, big brown eyes, and said, let me tell you something. I want Trask to win that job. I said, you do? I feel refreshed.
Here he is, Bucks fans, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. That's Canton, Ohio. Ira Kaufman, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is still on sabbatical, research sabbatical, so it's just me and the Sage today, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition, a family-owned Ford dealership, which is a beautiful thing, and GM Sean Sullivan, he will beat or meet whatever price you're getting from another Ford dealership. If not, he's going to hand you $500. It's just that simple. Get the details at BillCurryFord.com. They're so confident in their pricing, Ira. But much more important is how they take care of their customers. First class, hands-on. It's a family-owned difference there. Body shop, service, and, of course, nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. And they've got a $500 gift card waiting for you if you want to order a vehicle online with their concierge ordering service. It's so easy, no deposit. BillCurryFord.com. Check them out. They're fantastic. Right there north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, 5815 North Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer, Ira. Summer season is Big Storm Beer season. Big Storm Spirits. The tap rooms are where you can get every single beer and every single spirit. And you can find them at BigStormBrewery.com. You can find them on social media, Big Storm Ebor, Big Storm Clearwater, the flagship location. Of course, Ebor is in Centro Ebor. Then they've got Odessa, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center. Big Storm Beer, we love Big Storm Beer. And storm season means you need to know Florida's Elite Restoration is on your side 24/7. When you have any in-home disaster, if you see water, mold, call them 24/7. Don't mess around. They're fantastic, and they're going to fight for you. And they've got $500 for you as well if you call and mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan after their free assessment, their free evaluation of your water damage or your fire damage, mold, storm damage, whatever it is. After they come out free and check it all out and tell you how to proceed or how you should proceed to make sure you get your insurance money, then they will give you $500 if you move forward with them with an agreement. So maybe that's money toward your deductible or just cash back if you're paying to repair your property. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Learn about them now so you're prepared for later. Ira, you were up in New York, little vacation. You got to have at least one story for us before we dive into some Bucks.
Absolutely. And by the way, speaking of Josh and his crew at Florida's Elite Restoration, I was thinking of them, Steve, because you never know. We were gone for a week, and on the flight back, you know, I was thinking, 30,000 feet in the air, you know, what if something happened to the air conditioner? What if it leaked for a week? What if I had a busted pipe in the bathroom? Of course, the first thing I was going to do was call Florida's Elite Restoration. Thankfully, Steve, everything was good. I feel refreshed, Steve. My batteries are recharged. 5 days in the Big Apple. My brother came in from California. We ate up a storm, some hefty checks. We saw three Broadway shows in 4 nights, and the other night we went to Birdland. It's a famous jazz club in New York, been around about 70 years. We saw a big band that played stuff from the 20s and 30s. Steve, I'm not going to mention Bette Midler. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to mention Frank Sinatra. These guys were playing stuff from Louis Armstrong, but it didn't matter because the sounds were great, 11-piece orchestra. And I saw Funny Girl. And we saw Some Like It Hot. Fantastic, Steve. Fantastic. We're on the 64th floor of the Residence Inn by Central Park. It's the tallest hotel in Manhattan. It only goes 65. I was on 64. You can imagine the view, Stevie. You know, in New York in July, Steve, it's 89 degrees and it's muggy. You know, it's not quite Florida, but it ain't no bargain.
Ira, with all the breeze up there, did you dry your underwear on the... balcony there, you know, with the breeze?
Yeah, I ran a clothesline outside the window, Steve, you know, and attached it to the skyscraper two blocks away. And I had some clothespins. That's how we used to do it, Steve, in Brooklyn, by the way. We had a courtyard in the back, and my mother would take the clothes with a clothespin, and there was a line between buildings. I'm serious. And a little spindle and a wheel that you hang the stuff out. Can you imagine seeing my underwear, Steve, at 6 o'clock in the morning? First thing when you open your window, geez, that's gotta be a hell of a sight.
It's better. I'll say this, Ira. It's better than not seeing your underwear. We'll leave it at that. Hey, Ira, look, real quick, over under on slices of pizza?
Zero.
Wow.
The food was so good, I didn't go to pizza. Now, by the way, Steve, I'm glad you mentioned that, because every two blocks, and I mean every two blocks, there's a sign and there's a line outside the door, and the sign says 99-cent pizza. And they're packed. They're packing them in. Now, I know somebody that had one, and they said, mediocre. Steve, what do you expect for 99 cents? What do you expect? That's 99 cents more than you're paying for the content at Joe Bucks Fan, Steve. I'll say that. And before we get into the Bucks, I'll say this, Steve. Next Monday, very big day for the Sage. I am supposed to, if all goes well, get this damn cast off my left arm so I can get back on the tennis court. I can open a bottle of water. Steve, my wife's cutting up my meat. I can't cut. This is ridiculous. I'm like going back to when I was 4 years old. I can't do anything. Thank God it's not my right hand, so I'm able to take care of business after I go to the bathroom. Steve, imagine if it was my right hand. Oh, my God. So anyway, the cast is supposed to come off Monday, Steve. Another reason to be effervescent, and we're 2-3 weeks away from Buck training camp. What more could a young man ask for?
Oh, man, Ira, you are full of energy. Glad to hear you are refreshed. I know you got a lot coming up between training camp and heading out to the Hall of Fame. A lot of fun times coming up. Bucks fans by now have seen that huge feature story that was done on Carlton Davis and by Tyler Dunn. And we've linked to it a few times on joebucksfan.com. You know, it's a lot about Davis's personal story, but a lot of it includes his fire for this season. And he sort of is implying that, hey, you know, this team was not all about Tom Brady and we're not getting respect and we're going to go out and show everybody that this is a team and we're good and it's not about Brady. He would, you know, use some really, really strong language. And of course, this time of year, anything that's of substance moves the needle in the NFL, nationally speaking. So I was happy for the Bucks that they got a lot of national play from Davis's comments and the post Tom Brady era. And it even made its way to Stephen A. Smith. He admitted on the air that, hey, you know what? Davis talking out really got me thinking, and he has a point. And he said, I got to rethink it. I got to rethink the Bucks. There was some of that going on. At least it's been talked about. It's nice to see, because it just speaks to how even a guy like Carlton Davis, who doesn't have the biggest name, if you have somebody who's willing to speak for your team, you know, it can change the whole respect level and it can change a little bit of the attitude of the whole organization in some ways.
Give me 10 seconds while I applaud Carlton Davis on two fronts, Steve. Two fronts. One, you know, his vow to wreck things and to cover guys, cover the heck out of them and put them in a straitjacket. I don't mind the bravado. You have to have it at that position. I think above all positions, the way the damn rules are, how good these receivers are, you're going up against Justin Jefferson in week one, you better go in thinking you're a damn good cover corner. And I remember the Bengals game, when he spoke out and said, I got Jamar Chase. And you know what? He did a very good job. They lost the game, but it certainly wasn't Carlton Davis's fault. And Steve, as good as Justin Jefferson is, and he's great, I'm not sure he's better than Jamar Chase. I mean, you could make an argument, you know, before next year's over, Chase the best receiver in football. Yeah, that's not outlandish to say. So I like the bravado from Carlton Davis. Even more importantly and intriguingly, Steve, this point, like, we're more than Tom Brady, and with all due respect to the GOAT, and he is the GOAT, and we'll never see anybody like him, and he lifted the Bucks to that Super Bowl on his shoulders, there's no question about it. I know the defense was great down the stretch, and they hounded Pat Mahomes, but Brady's Brady, and he lifted the play of everybody. Steve, I think Carlton Davis was a part of a unit Steve, and it's not the first time I'm saying it. I really do believe it. A big part of a unit that felt that the offense let them down big time in 2022, almost the entire damn year. You know, 18 points a game, you know, you can't argue with it, Steve. It is what it is. And, you know, they needed a big offensive game against Carolina to clinch the division. They got it. But most other times, you know, without Brady pulling games out of his ass, you know, with 3 minutes left in the game, that team finishes 6-11. But the way I look at it, Steve, he wouldn't have to pull the games out if the offense was doing anything. And they weren't. I think it's like 5, 6, 7 times last year. The defense gave up, you know, 7 points, maybe 10 in the first half. And they're losing. And they're losing. It's 10-3. It's 7-0. They can't score. And I don't blame Carlton Davis because he's talking about the 2022 Tom Brady, who was okay, just okay. Because to me, Steve, the guy on the center, he's got to take the responsibility for the offense. I mean, he has to.
You feel like some of this was almost in some ways a little frustration of, hey, the offense wasn't that good, fellas, and we're going to show our identity this year even more on defense, and we'll be a better team. Are you feeling it's sort of just an overall slap at the offense?
I think it's overall at the offense. I don't think it's necessarily directed at Brady, nor should it be. There's a little Leftwich in there, insinuation, offensive line. The running game stunk. They couldn't score, Steve. That's just the bottom line. And I don't blame Carlton Davis for saying it. And I think without, you know, being able to prove it, Steve, I think the defense got mentally worn out. And by the time the playoffs rolled around, they stunk in that game, the defense. They stunk. But the offense wasn't doing anything either, Steve. I think they got mentally worn down by this inept offense.
Ira, I'm going to put a little bit on your plate here as far as a buffet. Because this is kind of a 3-for-1, so I know you'll have a lot to say on this. But Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, a senior NFL writer, he does his annual survey of NFL coaches, not too many coaches, but coaches, executives, scouts, and players. He says there are 80 in the mix, and he gives an annual survey and asks them who are their top 10 players at each position, and to give him some commentary that he'll use anonymously if he so chooses. And he puts these out in the off season, and you know, it's pretty fascinating. Obviously he's legit. I don't think any of this is phony or anything like that. He's been doing it for years. Now, defensive tackles, Vita Vea, not in the top 10. He was in the honorable mentions. I think there were 5. Devin White, number 5 overall, as the fifth best inside linebacker. Levante David made it as a honorable mention. And at cornerback, top 10 came out. No Carlton Davis, no Jamel Dean. Neither one of them were among the 5 honorable mentions. So the league, per Fowler's survey, says, you know what, Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, they may be number 1 corners, but they're not in the best half, top half of the league. Vita Vea, nice defensive tackle, not elite. And Devin White, yeah, you're elite.
Steve, before I weigh in, where was Antoine Winfield?
They have not released safeties yet.
And what number did they give Wirfs?
Didn't get to that position group yet.
Okay, obviously Wirfs will make top 5, you know, obviously. Let's start with the corners, Steve. I agree with the assessment. Some people were throwing around, you know, a year or two ago, top 5. No, Steve, no, not top 5. And in this case, maybe not top 15. They got a lot to prove. We saw guys wide ass open too often last year. And it wasn't like the Bucs pass rush was terrible. It wasn't. They had 45 sacks. It's a very respectable number. I got a column coming up on that. I don't know how the hell Bowles pulled off 45 sacks. That's one of the all-time Bowles moves when you're leading a sacker is a nose tackle. So I'm with them on Davis and Dean. Top 15? No. Devin White over Levante Davis. I don't agree with that, Steve. I don't agree with that. I don't know who we talked to. I don't know which players said it.
Ira, it's a survey of 80. It's a cross-section. It's not just one player.
I don't see Devin White having a better year than Levante David last year. I don't. And the year before, I don't. And it's not the sack total. I'm not talking about Devin White getting 9 sacks. I mean, that's unreasonable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the poor angles. I'm talking about poor tackling technique and struggling in coverage. Levante David is the better player right now, unless Devin White proves me wrong. He's not necessarily the more splashy player, so I disagree with that one. But as far as Davis and Dean, I got to see it, Steve. I got to see it. Dean had a pretty good season last year. Steve, there's 32 teams, and if you're going with only 2 corners instead of also a slot corner, that's 64 corners. So they're not top 15 out of 64 corners. I don't think that's a disgraceful assessment of those two as they stand right now.
No, I don't think so either. I know a lot of Bucks fans would probably disagree, but that's where it is. And it's interesting, especially the Devin White stuff, Ira. Before I hit you with a question about White that I think is important, really more important than where he ended up ranking per se, the list of cornerbacks, we got Patrick Surtain came in number 1. With the Broncos, Sauce Gardner, number 2 with the Jets, Jalen Ramsey, number 3, Jair Alexander, Packers, number 4, Darius Slay, Eagles, number 5, Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens, 6, Lattimore, Saints, 7, Diggs, Cowboys, 8, Denzel Ward with the Browns, 9, and A.J. Terrell, Falcons, number 10. Do you have a problem with any of those, Ira, loosely speaking?
That's a pretty darn good list, Steve. Darius Slay, I knew he would be in there. He had a heck of a year for the Eagles. Sauce Gardner, Steve, some people thought that maybe the Jets reached. He's got the fancy nickname. Maybe it'll go to his head. He could end up being the next Revis for Jet fans. I mean, he could. Jet fans are in love with the guy.
Sage, yeah. did your fancy nickname go to your head?
No, I stopped it right in kindergarten. They were calling me the Penguin. I didn't like that, Steve. The Penguin. Because I walked with kind of a limp or whatever, and some of the girls behind me in 6th grade, hey, Penguin, and that's when the Batman show was the rage on WABC. They thought I walked like the Penguin. I put a stop to that, Steve.
So, just to recap in this episode, we've learned that Ira goes to New York and listens to big band big band music from the 20s, and as a 9-year-old, he looked like Burgess Meredith. All right, we got it. Okay.
Steve, we haven't talked about Vita Vea. Vita Vea, did he make the Pro Bowl last year? I don't remember. I don't think he did. Even with 6.5 sacks, he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Steve, I think it would help Vita Vea a little bit, and you touch on it all the time. Get him on the field a little more, Steve. They're very wary of him, maybe because of his weight, and they want to optimize his efficiency. And I understand all that sports science. But, Steve, he's your best defensive lineman, unless Kansi comes in and takes the world by storm. Steve, what's he playing, 45% of the snaps?
He's about 60, but nearly everybody, if not everybody at his position, is playing more. So that's really what it comes down to.
I'm a little surprised that Vita Vea didn't make the top 10, Steve. I'm a little surprised at that. I don't think there's that many great interior linemen. Of course, Aaron Donald and Chris Jones, who's about to be paid, Steve, handsomely by the Chiefs. For my money, Vita Vea is as good as Grady Jarrett. I don't know if Grady Jarrett made that list, Steve. I think he probably did. Did he?
He actually did not make the top 10. It's an ESPN Plus feature. It's behind a paywall, so a lot of fans didn't see it. But Jones was number 2. I don't have the whole list in front of me here from that position group. But yeah, Jarrett wasn't there. Both of the guys from the Commanders were there. They're two beasts in the middle, Payne.
What about Quinnen Williams? He certainly made it, right? The Jets guy.
Yes, he was there. All right, Sage, what I think is a little important, Sage, regarding Devin White and as this relates, is that Devin White looks at something like this, and he's ready to take his horse out for a sprint. He's so mad at the Bucks He's a fiery guy. He doesn't need extra reasons to get fired up. He saw this. That it's just another affirmation for him that, hey, I'm just not respected by my team, but the rest of the league respects me. What do you think, from your perspective, Ira, goes through his head? What do you think Jason Light thinks when he sees this, because they all see this stuff, and Team Glazer as well.
I'll tell you this, Steve. If Devin White didn't see it, Devin White's agent did see it. And, you know, he's the guy that's, you know, speaking in Devin White's ear, as he should. You know, he's his representative. And it's probably like, look at this, Devin. They got you at number five in a league with 32 teams. And the Bucks are waffling about an extension. I remain squarely on the Bucks side in this, Steve. It doesn't mean I want to get rid of Devin White. I don't. He's too young, and he's too talented. I'm not giving up on Devin White. But he's got to play better. He's got to be more disciplined and maybe do a more preparation. Listen to Levante David a little bit. Listen to Derek Brooks a little bit. And up your game. And I'll say it again, Steve. The Glazers would not mind shelling out big money for Devin White or any other Buccaneer that they felt was a foundational piece to their long-term success. And certainly at his age, he fits the mold, just like Antoine Winfield and Vita Vea maybe, and a Godwin, you know, somebody that's going to be there and maybe get another extension. But he's got to up his game, Steve, but you're right. A poll like this only fortifies White's stance. But I expect him now, Steve, and now I do expect him at training camp. I don't think this thing's going to get bitter. I don't think Buck fans should go crazy and expect some kind of a long impasse. I don't see it that way, Steve. Devin White made his he made his move. He made his intentions clear. So have the Bucks. They're not dealing them. Steve, unless things change in the middle of the season, which they could. But you don't go into a season saying, I'm getting rid of Devin White and I got a 33-year-old inside linebacker next to him. And I'm getting rid of the 25-year-old linebacker. They're not adopting that stance right now.
Sage, an important question here for you. I wish Lee was here, but you know what? We'll go after him when he comes back with this. It's I'm too curious to not ask you to get your opinion on this. Something Lee wrote up earlier this week. Big Storm Beer, Ira. It's in most public stores. The Bromosa, their top seller, the Tangerine IPA. Fantastic. Big Storm Beer is elsewhere as well. Your favorite restaurant, bar, Big Storm Beer. Ask for it if you don't see it. And, of course, their tap rooms are out there, bigstormbrewery.com. Opening day fun is going to be in store for us, Ira. Bucks at Vikings. We're still nailing down the exact location, but we're working on a buffet this time. Big Storm and the Sage watching opening day.
Hey, Steve, one thing I don't think you and I have talked about because maybe it just came out since the last podcast, but one of you guys put out some kind of a story, one of many, regarding Baker Mayfield. And Steve, to be fair, you can't write enough Baker Mayfield stories. I understand that, and I agree with that. You know, he's a focal point, the focal point. Didn't you guys have somebody, I don't know if it was a media member or whatever, suggesting that Mayfield was not exactly Mr. Popular in Cleveland and maybe some of his other stops, and he pissed some people off? Steve, that's part of his reputation. I'm not saying it's necessarily true, but it's another thing he's got to overcome, Steve. It's a stigma. I think that's attached to Baker Mayfield maybe since the day he came into the National Football League. Is Steve, there's a perception. I'll give you an example, Steve. When I saw Bruce Arians and I was asking him about Mayfield, the way I approached it, and I don't normally, you know, phrase a question like this, is because I knew how, I knew that Arians really liked Mayfield coming out of college or whatever, and even when he was with the Browns. I said, Bruce, is this guy a punk, or is he just confident? I wouldn't ask a question like that towards most players, but, you know, I know a little bit about Mayfield's reputation. Because he's not a punk. He's not even cocky. He's just confident. Steve, what's the perception of Mayfield out there in the regard of his personality?
Sage, frankly, I think he's got a clean slate here in Tampa. I think his opening news conference, and across the country for the most part, but his opening news conference, he didn't try to pretend he was Tom Brady, and, you know, he was pretty humble, and he's been here for all of OTAs, and, you know, I think whatever issues he had in Cleveland as a younger player, you know, he's definitely removed from that at this point. You know, I think he's got a clean slate. I think there's some undercurrents of that. But I think people who have paid attention aren't holding anything against him anymore. I think there's maybe some holdover from people he might have pissed off in 2021 when he was playing through injury and being a little more snippy than he was in 2020 when, of course, things were going great.
You know, Steve, I read the National guys just like you do, with great respect towards most of them. They do their homework. And, Steve, I got to tell you, honestly, and Buck fans, you know, they're aware of this, too. They're hoping for the best, but there's not a lot of guys out there, at least in print, you know, on radio or television, that really, they're not exuding a lot of confidence about Baker Mayfield. Am I missing something? I'm the guy that wrote a column a couple weeks ago saying, what would be so shocking if the guy has a good season? I mean, when he was healthy in 2020, the guy was good. And his team did very well. Now, he had a bad injury. You know, torn labrums, nothing to, you know, sneeze at. And maybe it takes a while to overcome it. He certainly didn't look like he overcame it last year, but now he's 2 years removed. Steve, I don't think it's shocking to think that Mayfield can have a pretty good season. Maybe I'm missing something.
It wouldn't be shocking, Ira, but I guess it's all relative. You know, what does that really mean? Does he have a good season and he's the 14th best quarterback in the league? I'm not sure that's going to get fans where they want to go. It's very much an unknown, Ira. And like I said, for me anyway, he's got a clean slate. But I know he's not going to get a long leash here. So he's got to perform quickly. And I think the Bucs are excited that he could do that because he showed he could jump into the Rams and do that. And, you know, he didn't have an off season with the Panthers last year with the late trade. And he was hurt the prior off season. A fresh start for him. But the perception game is going to move very quickly with him because I think he'll get snippy if he gets stupid questions when they're 1-3 and he's a little bitter. And, you know, of course, he'll be a darling of the NFL if he comes in and plays well the first month.
Steve, I'll say this with some confidence. Maybe this applies to half the quarterbacks in the NFL, but I think it certainly applies to the Buck quarterback, who I think is going to be Baker Mayfield. Steve, if they don't run the ball well, and I'm not saying they got average 4.5 yards a carry and 150 yards rushing. I'm not saying that. But if they don't run the ball well, Steve, I don't think Mayfield is going to be very effective. I just don't.
Ira, the question I was going to ask you before ties into this, and we'll run out of this podcast on this broader theme. The Buccaneers were worst in the league last season, worst, when it was 3rd and 5 or longer. That statistic shocked Lee. And it didn't surprise me. I mean, I would have pegged them for bottom five. Worst didn't stun me, but it was sort of eye-opening. Where do you stand on that? And, you know, what does that say in the perception of where Mayfield is and what he has to do here?
I'm a little with you. I wasn't shocked, even though it's Brady. The first thing that strikes me about that statistic, Steve, and maybe I'm wrong, but it was 3rd and 5 or longer. I dare say, without delving deeper into the numbers, which I think we probably could, other teams tended to be 3rd and 6, and the Bucs tended to be 3rd and 9. And those 3 yards make a big difference. That's the first thing that strikes me, because it wasn't exact. It was 5 yards or more. And in the case of the Bucs, I think the words "or more" are very applicable, because the running game stuck. Instead of 3rd and 5, you know, for the Eagles, it was 3rd and 9 for Brady, and maybe 3rd and 12 for Brady sometimes. So that's the first thing that struck me. Steve, I also think, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I think you did do a deep dive into this. Did the Bucs face more third downs than any team in the league? I think the answer might be yes on that.
I do not know that one. You know, obviously they had a pretty good offense as far as moving the football. But the points weren't there. I would say no on that, Ira, because they were not a big play offense. The big explosive plays weren't there. The big explosive runs weren't there. Right. You know, there was more dink and dunk. But I don't know. I don't know if the numbers would add up on that. But you know what? I'll look it up and we can hit it next podcast and see if you think it means anything. Overall, the Bucs were 15th in total yards. I think that might be difficult to be. You know, have the most third downs in that situation. That, you know, they were 13th in the league in total first downs. So I don't know. I doubt it.
I'm going to leave you with this one. Take it for what it's worth. It's anecdotal. Doesn't mean anything. It's one person. I was at my cardiologist today, Steve. And yes, my blood pressure's good, Steve. it's good, even after a week in New York City. And, you know, he was telling the nurse, hey, this guy works for Joe Bucks fan. You know, they're all over the Bucks. They're the best site for the Bucks. And we got a celebrity in the house and this and that. And the nurse goes, oh, me and my husband, we're huge Buck fans. We got tickets for the preseason opener. We're going to training camp, this and that. And I said, well, not too many people are picking the Bucks to have a good year. They're not very optimistic about Baker Mayfield. Steve, she looked at me, big brown eyes, and said, let me tell you something. I want Trask to win that job. I said, you do? The guy's thrown 9 NFL passes. She said, I don't care. I don't trust Mayfield. Give this young kid a chance. You know, Steve, she's not alone. There's other people that feel that way, and that's what's going to make training camp so very interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely not alone. The minority, yes, but absolutely not alone. And you know what? Go win the job, Kyle. Lee and I both think he has a chance, slim chance, not because of necessarily his ability, but I don't think he'll get much of an opportunity. And we think Todd Bowles, of course, is very much leaning Mayfield because he won't want to put his head coaching career on the line with a guy who hasn't played. But, you know, that opportunity is still there. You know, it will be a legit competition. How long it will be, I don't know. Will it be as legit as they say? Doubtful, but it'll be real. So, yeah, no, thanks for the anecdote, Sage. We like your cardiologist, big Bucks fan. Of course, we like Bill Curry Ford, thanking them for presenting all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com, BillCurryFord.com. It's the family name, Bill Curry Ford. And thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. No mold at Ira's house, but if you got mold and more, any kind of storm damage, home damage, call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage, we will talk to you soon, and we're counting the days till that cast comes off.
Looking forward to it, Steve.